This morning, we're going to be getting off of our series for a few weeks in John. The next 2 weeks, I want to deal with a specific topic regarding our thanksgiving unto the Lord for the things He's done for us, ways to show our thanksgiving. If you'll take your Bibles and let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17. Luke chapter 17, we'll be there in just a minute. I'm sure that there are many things that each one of us is grateful for. If you're not grateful for anything this morning, you need to look. There's plenty to be grateful for, amen? Plenty to thank God for. I'm sure there are many people that each one of us is grateful for as well. I've mentioned in the announcements, but I'll reiterate, next Sunday evening we plan to have our annual Thanksgiving and praise service. And that'll give you an opportunity to thank the Lord and praise the Lord for what He's done for you, to express your thanksgiving and praise to Him for His goodness this past year. Most of the time, when we're grateful for what someone has done, we try to find a way to say thank you, don't we? That's if we know who did it. A couple of weeks ago, somebody stuffed something up underneath my wife's stuff there in the pew, and we found it. No signed cards, but really nice gifts. We didn't know who to say thanks to. So, you know, we thank you if you're the one that was responsible for that. We thank you for that. But we try to say thanks, don't we? When somebody's done something. It might be with our mouths. It might be with a card. It might be with a small gift or a reciprocal kind deed. Or it may be some other way that I've not mentioned. But when someone expresses their thanks to us for something that we have done for them, we appreciate it. And if we don't appreciate it, we ought to. And none of us like ingrates, do we? You ever done something really nice for somebody and they didn't bother to say thanks to you or anything? But, you know, it just kind of hits you the wrong way, doesn't it? I know our country has established Thanksgiving Day coming up next week, not this week. By the way, it's Thanksgiving Day, it's not Turkey Day. And let's not be like the world and devalue the day by calling it something other than what it was established for. Thanksgiving Day was established as a special day to show and express our gratitude to God for all the things that He's done for us as a nation and as individuals. And as God's people, we know we're to be continually thankful. But it comes to mind this time of year, we focus on thanksgiving, focus on our praise to the Lord. Over the years, the emphasis for Thanksgiving Day has waned as way too many other things have taken the place of truly giving thanks to God. And it's been used for the purposes of the world rather than what it was established for. And if there's anyone that should give and express gratitude to God for the blessings that He gives as the believer in Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. Our gratitude to God should be something that is evident in our lives. People ought to see your thanksgiving. I'm not talking about just on Thanksgiving Day, Thanksgiving season, Thanksgiving week, whatever you want to call it. But I'm talking about on a continual basis. You ought to be giving praise to God for what He's done for you. And people ought to be able to see that in your heart and in your life. Our expressing gratitude to Him is a way that we can glorify Him. And we should be willing to let our gratitude show so that others, and especially that God, can see our gratitude for Him. And it's, like I say, it's one of the real ways that we can glorify the Lord. When God does something good in your life, and you say, I just want to praise God for this. He gives glory, sheds glory to our Lord. I want to share with you some ways to let our thanksgiving show. We're going to look at two of those this week, and we're going to look at two next week. Okay, I wanted to split this in two, keep it from being so long. I can tell by the number of pages of notes that I have, and yes, I do use notes because when I had a stroke a few years back, I have trouble remembering. And so I do use my set of notes, and I'm not ashamed to say that I do that. But if you'll join me, let's read Luke 17, and let's take a look at verse number 11 through 19 here, and we see a very familiar story. 10 men who were very sick here, then they approached Jesus. Look at verse number 11. It came to pass as he, speaking of Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Leprosy. This disease had eaten away at these 10 men's bodies. That's what leprosy does. It eats, slowly eats away at the body and the flesh. And they had become social outcasts. Lepers were not allowed to hang around the rest of society. Generally, they were separated out. They lived rather lonely lives as they were separated from families, friends, and society in general. About the only people that you could have any fellowship with was with other lepers. If they happened to come in close proximity to others, they were required to cover their faces and cry, unclean, unclean, to warn others of their terrible condition. We see here that these 10 lepers came to Jesus and cried out to him, asking for mercy. Jesus is the only one that could be a help to them. We know that our Savior is a great physician, isn't he? And he can. There's nothing that's too hard for him. He can heal. Jesus gave these fellows a rather unusual answer as they cried out for mercy. He told them to go show themselves to the priest. Now, when someone was healed of leprosy, they were required to appear before the priest in order to be declared clean so that they could go back and be a part of society again. If they weren't declared clean by the priest, they were still considered unclean. These lepers, at this point, had not been healed. It was a step of faith for them to believe that as they went to the priest, that they would be healed. Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. And they had to believe, by the time I get there, this leprosy is going to be gone. Verse 14 tells us that as they went, they were healed. All 10 of them. What a wonderful thing, amen. Can you imagine having such a disease and having the stigma that's attached to the disease and having all of that to be taken away by the Lord Jesus Christ? These lepers had to have that step of faith to believe that as they went to the priest, they would be healed. And they did. And can you imagine the joy and relief these former lepers must have had in their lives as they were healed? Can you imagine what they might have been thinking? I imagine some were in a hurry, let me get to the priest so I can get back to my family. They were tired of not being able to be around their family. Some may have said, I've got to get to the priest so I can function in society again. Some may have said, I've got to hurry to the priest so I can get on with my life. But we see that one of these 10 former lepers did something quite different, and that is he immediately returned to Jesus to worship him out of gratitude. And that is the first way that we show our thanksgiving. We should let our thanksgiving show through our worship. Our worship. It says here that he glorified God with a loud voice. Now this wasn't a soft, thank you Lord, I'm well. No. It was a loud booming, I think you probably, praise God, I'm healed. You know, just really boomed it out there. Anyone nearby would have had no trouble hearing him. Just imagine being in his place, having that terrible sickness upon you, and then to find that it's gone. You think you would be joyful enough to express it loudly so others could hear? Verse 16 tells us that he fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. Now, what was unique about this was that he wasn't even a full-blooded Jew. He was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were basically half-breed Jews. They were a mixture of Assyrian and Jewish from the time that we've been studying on in scriptures. It's been a while back since we saw the Northern Kingdom, but when the Northern Kingdom was carried away into captivity by the Assyrians, they were replaced in the land with the Assyrians, and the result was the half-breeds that came out of that, and that is the Samaritans. Now in verses 17 and 18, we see that Jesus points out that there were nine others who didn't come back to worship, and also that the one who was least likely to show gratitude was the only one who did. Now see, the Jews didn't have anything to do with Samaritans, and Samaritans didn't have anything to do with the Jews. There was a confrontation there. Remember, as we took a look at the Samaritan woman at the well when we were in John chapter number 4, we saw that very thing. She was surprised that Jesus had anything to do with her, because she was a Samaritan. And I imagine this fellow was quite amazed that Jesus, a Jew, didn't single him out to treat him separately. But see, Jesus did not discriminate. Jesus treated him with the same respect that he treated those that were Jews. Every person who has been marvelously changed by Christ ought to show their gratitude through their worship. Don't you think it's just reasonable that we should be eternally grateful to God for what He's done for us and show it through our worship? I mean, that's the basis of the song I just sang. And I know Aunt Andre Krauts made that song famous, but it's got a wonderful message to it of expressing thanksgiving to what the Lord has done for us. Now, I want you to look there at verse number 19. Verse 19 says, "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Jesus told this man that his faith made him whole. I believe that Jesus was talking of more than just his physical healing here. This man's faith had saved him and had given him eternal life. You know, you can't be whole unless you've been born again. That's right. Unless you've been saved by God's grace, you are not whole. I mean, God may save you from a certain illness. He may save you from a tragedy or through a tragedy. But until He has saved your soul, you have not been made whole by Him. Listen to me. Worshiping God and being grateful for His salvation is part of truly being a Christian. I have my doubts about those who profess to be Christians but don't have any desire to truly worship God with gratitude in their hearts. Listen to Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, "By Him," and that Him is speaking of Jesus, "by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Now that ought to speak to us as believers, The things that we have through Jesus Christ and continually have through Him ought to cause us to voice our praise and voice our thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." It's God's will for us to give thanks to Him for what He does for us. You know, as we sing the various psalms and hymns and spiritual songs of faith in our worship time, are you truly worshiping the Lord? Or are you just going through the motions? Is your heart engaged in worship, or is your mind wandering off in la-la land? You're not really focused upon what you're even singing or saying. Disconnected from what's being said and sung. Now, if you can't sing, I know some folks say, "Well, you know, I don't sing because I just can't carry a tune in a bucket." You heard that expression? But, you know, if the Lord has not blessed you with a voice that sounds good when it sings, and I know there are folks that are like that, the least you can do is mouth the words. Amen? I mean, it's more about the words than it is about the tune anyway. And, you know, we ought to be able to be a part of what's going on. And some sing, but you can tell that their singing is disconnected from their hearts. Their hearts just aren't in it. And see, I get to see all that because I'm up here. Always have. Even before I led the singing, I'm still up on the podium as pastor. And you can see, you know, some people, they're just not into what they're doing when they sing the songs and are supposed to be involved in worship. If we truly know Christ, we ought to be singing from our hearts that are overflowing with worship to God because of what the Lord has done for us and continues to do for us. Amen? I know a lot of folks are going through some tough times right now. You know, we all, in a way, are going through some tough times. Things are getting more expensive. And you have, it takes more to make ends meet. But, you know, there's still something to praise God for in all of that. Amen. We can find something. If we truly know Christ, we ought to be able to express that. It's not just about what we have in our pockets that should make us thankful, but what we have in our heart. Because that which is in our pocket is temporal anyway. Easy come, easy go. But you know, that is in our heart. If we're saved, you know, nobody can take that from you. We're saved eternally. That's something to rejoice about, isn't it? People can take your life, but they can't take your soul. You know, you're still going to go and be with the Lord if you're saved. I like this quote by Daniel Webster. He once said, "If you want to feel rich, just count the things that you have that money cannot buy." Amen. We have so much that money can't buy. We are a blessed people. Let's turn to Luke chapter number 8. Not only should we let our thanksgiving show through our worship, but we see here in Luke 8, another story that we're going to read, verses 26 through 40 here, Luke 8. And we're going to see here we should let our thanksgiving show through our witness. Not only just our worship, but our witness. Look at verse 26. "And they," talking about Jesus and His disciples here, "they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when He had went forth to land, there met Him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before Him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech Thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. That's kind of unusual, isn't it? They're afraid because the man is normal now. Verse 36. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. He wanted to be with Jesus. He said, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass when Jesus was returned, in other words, when Jesus came back to that area, it says the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now, we see here that we should let our thanksgiving show through our witness. Here we see a man who had been possessed with a legion of demons. A legion of soldiers was between 3,000 and 6,000 men. I don't know how many devils this guy had in him, but the Lord Jesus delivered him from those demons, ever how many there were. Because of the demons, he had suffered a terrible life of isolation and insanity. I mean, you can just imagine. But notice how that this man was so grateful to Jesus for what he had done for him that he wanted to follow Jesus. And that's the way it should be. It ought to be the way it is with anybody and everybody that Jesus delivers from their bondage of sin. Amen. I remember when I first got saved. It's been a long time ago, February 11th, 1971. What, just a long time. February 17th, 1971. It was a wonderful time that what Jesus did for me, and I wanted folks to know. And note what Jesus told him. He said, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. When someone does something good for us, we often show our gratitude by telling others what they have done for us. And God has done great things for all of us who are saved. If you're saved this morning by His grace, I want you to think about it. He's redeemed you through the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven you all of your sins. Amen. And if that wasn't enough, you know, He saved our souls from hell and given us His eternal life. We have the life of Christ. Christ's life is a life that never ends. He has given us His indwelling presence in the person of the Holy Spirit. The moment we got saved, the Holy Spirit came in, took up residence in our lives. And we have Him as our guide, as our teacher. What a blessing. Jesus is right now at the right hand of our Heavenly Father in heaven, making intercession on our behalf. We're blessed. We're a blessed people. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, is the way it's expressed in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Now listen, one way we can all let our gratitude show is by telling others what Jesus has done for us. I'm talking about our witness. Our witness. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You know, it is out of gratitude that we should obey the Great Commission. Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world." Mark 16:15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So out of gratitude, we ought to want to participate in the Great Commission. Was this man who Jesus delivered obedient to Jesus? He was, wasn't he? He went his way, it says there, he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. We who are saved know what Jesus has done for us. At least we ought to. You know, we didn't know everything when we first got saved. Remember when you first got saved, you know, you knew a little bit. You knew you were a sinner. You knew that Jesus died to pay for your sins and that He would come in your heart and life and save you. But I dare say that any of us really understood all that Jesus did for us in that. And the more we come to know Christ, the closer we draw ourselves to Christ, the more we come to understand the salvation that we have and that we enjoy. And we who are saved, you know, we know that the only way to heaven is through Jesus. Amen. We know that to be true. And that's not being a bigot. That's just being biblical is all it is. Now, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So if we are truly grateful to God and want others to join us in heaven, then we should be obedient to Jesus and tell others what Jesus has done for us and what He can do for them. And I want you to think about it. Who do you know that needs to hear the good news? You know, there's some people that you can reach that I can't reach. Some people I will never know that's in your life. There's some people that will never darken the door of this church to hear a sermon preached. But they know you. And you can say something to them. They ought to be able to see a difference in your life. See what Jesus has done for you. And you can share with them what Jesus can do for them because of what He's done for you. I don't know who said it, but I think it was a missionary from long ago who said, "It's only good news if they get it in time." And that's true. People need to hear about Jesus. And I think that we're getting near to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that we're getting close to the time when the Lord's going to return and we're going to be out of here. And, you know, we've got a limited amount of time. We don't know how much time we've got. In fact, none of us know. You know, we might not be around for that wonderful event. The Lord may take us home before that time. Nevertheless, until He takes us home, whether it be by way of death or whether it be through the rapture, we need to express the gospel to those that need it. We should let our thanksgiving show through our worship and our witness. I want you to think back when you first got saved, if you're saved this morning. Think back to the time you got saved. Remember how your heart overflowed then with gratitude? You remember how much joy you had deep down inside for what the Lord did for you? What happened to that? Do you still have that gratitude? I trust that you do. If not, you need to get it back. Amen. Every time we view our salvation, we view what the Lord has done for us, it ought to cause an outpouring of gratitude unto Him. If you're not saved, listen, Jesus came to this earth and did something that you could not do. You couldn't pay for your sin other than going and spending eternity in hell. There's no way that you could have eternal life. But Jesus has provided a way for you to have eternal life. And if you're not saved, the height of ingratitude is to reject something that someone went to great cost to provide for you. And what Jesus provided for us is a free gift. He offers it free. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Think of the great gift. Now, we're getting close to the Christmas season. A lot of folks are wondering, probably anticipating, what am I going to get for Christmas? The older we get, we don't think much about that, do we? We really don't. I don't care if anybody gets me anything or not. I just want to be with my family during Christmas. Amen. But there are folks who are focused on the gifts that they give. But, if somebody went to a great cost to buy you a really nice gift, and you said, "Nah, I don't think I'm not going to take that." That's ingratitude, isn't it? Jesus went to the greatest cost of all. He gave of Himself that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So if you're not saved, listen, to reject that free gift not only is height of ingratitude, but it's not very smart. Without Jesus, you won't make heaven. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and get saved. And for those of us that are saved, let's let our thanksgiving show through our worship of our Lord and through our witness for Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father,